Well, it's nice to be with you all tonight. We just felt like the Lord started talking to us on Monday morning about maybe having something for Wednesday night tonight. And so we were praying about that and thinking about that, and seemed like too many obstacles to come. But the Lord, I believe, helped us. And so we were praying so Tuesday morning we were praying and asking the Lord if He wanted us to come, and Wendell calls us. And he hadn't called us in a long, long time. And we just, right during prayer, we just felt like, well, that's our answer. So I already felt like we needed to come, but seemed like a lot of obstacles to overcome. Well, I feel like the Lord's give us some thoughts on, if you titled it, I would say, Through Much Tribulation. In Acts 14 and long about 19, we find here Paul says, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." I just want to share that little thought with us this evening, that, you know, it really matters how we think about things. And if we expect that we're not going to have any tribulation, we're going to be disappointed in the Lord. But Paul said, he told these people, he said that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And I just want to encourage us tonight to get this mindset, that whatever I have to go through to get to the Lord and to get to heaven, I'm going to go through it. And whatever that God allows me to go through, He is going to use that to help me get to heaven. And if we can get our mindset twisted around and corrected from the human perspective that we might have, and get it in a correct perception of what God wants to say to us, He would tell us, there's some things coming your way that you're not going to like, but you know what? They're going to help you get to heaven. And He would tell us that these things are not made to destroy us, but in fact, they establish us. And so everything that He sends our way, it's not just a dream, it's not just a saying, but everything God sends our way, every bit of tribulation, if we will allow it, it will bless our lives. I have found it to be true, and I believe that this morning, or this evening. And so I think about Paul. You know, he said in another place, he said, "The Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Now, you know what bonds are? That means jail time, prison, afflictions. That means beatings. That means troubles. That means collisions with people in their cities, in their words. That's what he was supposed to expect. Okay? That's what Paul said. The Holy Ghost had said to him, this is what to expect, Paul, is what's going to happen. And you know, why? I look at all of that, but Paul went on to say this before we go on. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And you know, I think about this little word that I have heard many times. Why? Why? Why did Paul have to go through all of that? Why did the Lord allow those things? Why did the Lord Jesus, why did he have to suffer and die? And we'll come to that in a minute and talk a little more about that maybe. But I think about these whys, and I remember 1987 was a year that just sticks out in my mind. It was in that year that I reached the low point of my life. That year, I had some expectations. We had been working as carpenters, working a lot of long hours, a lot of struggles, a lot of troubles, and I wanted to get out of that. I wanted a job where I had a paycheck at the end of the week and a retirement at the end of the way. And so I applied to the Postal Service, and I thought, you know what? This will be nice. It may not be big money, but it'll be money, and it'll always be there. And when I get done at the end of the way, I'll have a retirement. And so I just really looked forward to that. And so I went through the test and all that. Everything was good, and the postmaster there, it seemed like he was really wanting to put me on there too. And then we took a trip. So we took the tests and all of that. And then we took a trip to Mexico. And here we were. I think we were down in Baja, Mexico at the time. And I got a call. You got to come back and take this driving test and then maybe an interview or whatever. And so I came back and left our family out there. And I took the driving test. And I prayed, Lord, I really want you to have your way. I really do. I wanted the job so bad, but I wanted him to have his way. And you know, I failed the driving test. And the instructor told me when we got done, he said, you know what you did wrong. He said, we could take this test again and you'd pass it, but I can't give it to you again. And you know, there was a lot of issues that was crowding in at that moment in our life, and that was just one of them. And so I went home and I was there alone, and I will tell you, that was a low point. That was the low point of my life. My way out seemed like it had been crashed, and even though I had prayed and I had asked the Lord, have your way, I knew by the way it all happened it was the Lord's hand. I couldn't deny it. I realized I surely should have been able to pass that test. And I knew what I did wrong. And the instructor knew that I knew what I did wrong. But I messed up. And I failed it. And you know, the Lord came to me. And he gave me two scriptures that I hope I never forget. And one of them was in Psalms, Proverbs 3 and 24 and 25. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Now, you know, that may not mean so much to you, but that was like a balm to my soul. Don't be afraid. Just, it'll be okay. And you know, and he gave me another scripture, but whoso, this is Proverbs 1 and 33, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. And you know, when the Lord gave me those scriptures, it quieted my spirit. I was in that low place, but I was able to go to sleep after that because the Lord visited me. And I hope the Lord can help us to be able to paint a little picture here tonight of life the way it is and the way it's going to be for us. The Lord is going to allow us into many places. As Paul exhorted those ones, it's going to be through much tribulation that you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. You're just not going to sail in. And so we're going to have to deal with the difficulties that come to us. But when God allows the most difficult places, I have found that he gives the most vivid visits at those times. And the Lord visited me that night. I will never, I suppose, ever forget that. It was a healing balm to my spirit that I needed real bad that night. As I say, that was the low point of my life. But you know, I think about why, and I want to address that as we go through this, a little piece at a time. But I think about that little piece of my life. You know, that directed me. The Lord had other things for me to do through my life, other than the postal service. And so He began to work in other ways after a while. And I look back now and I think about the way that those hard things, there was a number of really hard things in those years. And you know, that solidified my faith in God. Things that happened that threatened our security. It threatened our future. It threatened so much. And different things that happened, different ways, sick children, just different things. And you know, but God used all those things to solidify our faith. And He used them to bless our lives in the future. So I want to encourage us today that when God begins to allow things into our life that we don't like, and if we're human, we don't like pain, we don't like anguish, we don't like distress, we don't like troubles, but God will take those things and He will use those things to draw us closer to Him than we ever could have been any other way. And I've found it to be so many times. And so I look at Paul the Apostle again. If we look over in 2 Corinthians 12 and 2, we find Paul relating an experience that was very real to him. He said, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory," excuse me, "but in mine infirmities." And he drops on down and he says in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." You know what? I've never peeked into heaven like Paul did. I've never seen into that. Paul saw a lot of things. The Lord revealed a lot of things. A lot of the scriptures we have came from Paul. And so the Lord saw that. And the Lord balanced it out and equalized his life. And he said that through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now this was no messenger of God. Paul said it was a messenger of Satan. But the Lord allowed it, because that tribulation was working something in Paul's life that nothing else could. Paul had seen things, experienced things that probably none of us will ever experience in the capacity he did. And you know, he could have gotten really lifted up as if he was something. And the Lord saw all of that. And so he gave to him a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble and to keep him praying and seeking the Lord. Do you know that God sees our lives? He knows what each one of us need to get to heaven, and He customizes the things that He allows into our lives to get us there. He customizes those things. He really does. And so he said, "The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Paul didn't understand why. Why is the Lord letting this messenger of Satan buffet me three times? Now, I'm sure he prayed about it every day. But it says three times I sought the Lord. I don't know what kind of fasting, prayer, what he was talking about here. I sought the Lord three times. Especially he sought the Lord. And you know what the Lord said to him? Now keep in mind, Paul's a person like we are. He didn't understand why all this was happening. He was asking the Lord to take it away if it would be his will. And so he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now Paul got a hold of that. He let those tribulations that God allowed into his life work in him something that was going to get him to heaven. And so Paul embraced that. And he said, if this will get me to heaven, if this will, I'm putting words in his mouth, but if this will work in me a work that draws me close to God, then I'm going to embrace it. And so listen to his words. He uses no small language telling the way he felt after this. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Those things that drive us to our knees in prayer, it's okay to ask God to take it away. It's okay to not like it. But I'll tell you what, when the Lord lets us know, it's okay. Your suffering is okay. It's working in you something that's drawing you close to me. You're getting on your knees and praying in a way that you never could any other way. And when the Lord begins to work with us like that, let's do what Paul did. Open our arms and say, Lord, all right. Most gladly, therefore, I'll take this. If this will get me to heaven, he said, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. 2 Corinthians 12, that was verse 10. For when I am weak, what does that mean? When I am weak, then am I strong. What I have found is, folks, when we are weak in ourselves, we are calling on God. And God begins to work in our life. I'll tell you, when I was at my weakest time, God visited me and gave me a strength that is still a strength to me today. It still is alive to me today. I remember so well how the Lord visited. And many times I've seen that happen. Do you know that when we allow God to be God in our life, it's all right to ask the Lord, Lord, I don't understand. And I remember one time, I think it was during that period of time, I asked the Lord, this seems a little foolish, but I wasn't challenging him. I was just asking. I just said, Lord, I don't mean to be, I'm not rebutting, but it just seems to me like if you'd be a little better to me, I would love you more. And I told the Lord that. Do you know that I've realized the Lord knows how to work and draw our hearts to Him in a way that is close. When He gets done, it'll be good. And so we have to allow that. Paul was kept humble and useful through the tribulation and trouble that he experienced. Why did he have to go through all the time stonings and shipwrecks and all of these things? Because that's what God ordered up for him. That's what God allowed in his life. This is what Paul needs to keep him eating at my hand. And then when I need to use him, I can. Because he's not going to have a boatload of himself on board. He's going to be trusting me. And do you know that's what God does in our life? He doesn't, we in our minds think, you know, I would do my best to just be on my best all the time. You know, I meet people, I'm positive, and everything's going good. I can just point them to, no, that's not God's way. God's way is a way that incurs plenty of tribulation too. That many times, and I want to show you, I want to study through some scriptures to show the very points that I'm talking about tonight. How that God works. Remember, when Paul received that perspective, when he saw that God, this is what you need, Paul. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Immediately, Paul threw his arms around it. okay, Lord, that's exactly what I want. That's exactly what I need. And I'll gladly now take these things. These things that trouble me and cause me problems, Lord, thank you. That's exactly what you saw I needed. And so we see Paul going that way. You know, when we see the Lord in everything in our life, every facet of it, the things that trouble us, what does it do to us? It puts us on our knees, doesn't it? Gets us close to the Lord. And I think many times when you work with people and they're struggling and different things, you know what? It's not all bad. Because if they didn't have something to struggle with, they would just go on out there and be their own self and do their own thing in their own ways. But the Lord knows how to call us close. I believe these things. I believe they're scriptural tonight. That doesn't mean that we don't ask. Paul asked. 3 times it says he asked. And the Lord it's okay, Paul. Just submit to me. You know, but he asked until the Lord gave him something. I think that's okay. You know, I think about Jesus. When he came to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And he said to the Father, this is in Luke 22, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Now, Jesus was praying to God, if there's some other way to accomplish this, then let me out of this, please. It was too much. He was looking at it. It was too much. And so he said, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. And there appeared, and I just want to impress upon us tonight, folks, that's the secret right there. Lord, I want you to do this for me, but if you don't, I'm going to serve you anyway. And whatever your will is, I want it above mine, even if it involves trouble and tribulation and anguish and problems. If you have something to accomplish, please do. You know, that's when we come to that place where I believe this. The Lord sent scriptures to me. He told Paul something. Hear Jesus, and he'll do this, and he has done it probably in some of your lives here, no doubt. And here it says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven strengthening him. You know, we always find that in these pictures. We don't find ourselves going through things on our own. But there we find Jesus completely outside of the human, completely unable to do what he needed to do on his own. But the Lord sent an angel and strengthened him at that point. You know, that's a major milestone in our life when that happens. It solidifies our faith. When you see an angel, that's really something, isn't it? I've never seen an angel. But you know what? I've experienced things just as clear as that, pretty much. But, you know, those things solidify our faith, don't they? They make us better vessels. But even after that angel appeared unto him, strengthening him, this is verse 44 of Luke 22, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground, down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Why? Again we ask, why? Why did Jesus have to suffer? Couldn't God? Why did he have to shed his blood? Why did he have to do it alone? Why all those things? There's whys that we don't always understand. But you know, couldn't God have just forgiven people? I'll tell you, there's some things God wants us to know. For the first thing, He's God. And we are little people. And He wants us to know how bad sin is. Sin isn't something that you just come to God on your own merits. And you know, we'll make it right. I'll do some good things now. God hates sin. Wherever we go in our life, don't ever forget one thing. God hates sin so much that he allowed all this death and trouble and anguish and hurt into the world because of sin. And we want to say, well, we sin more or less every day. Folks, it cannot be so. God hates sin. Even there's animals that suffer. When we see suffering, we need to remember how much God hates sin. That's how much He hates it. We want to remember, let's run from sin. Let's be delivered from sin. Let's pray to God until God gives us that true salvation in our hearts that we can live for Him in a dark and cruel world. That's what He came to do. He came to make it right, didn't He? Jesus came to do that. And so God set the price. It's got to be blood, not of bulls and goats, but it's going to have to be settled some way. The Son of God was the only one worthy to stand before God and make that kind of price. And He did that, didn't He? So we see that His pain and agony atoned. It made an atonement for all the sins of the world. Paul's pain and agony made him a humble and a useful vessel. The things that God does in our life will do something for us if we'll allow the hand of God to work in us. Say, Lord, I'm in trouble. I need Your help. That's a good place to be because it sets us in a humble place before God where He can truly minister His grace to us tonight. In Psalms 119 and 67 and 68, the scripture tells us, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept Thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me Thy statutes. You know, the psalmist got a hold of something, didn't he? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But God used my affliction to bring me back to Him. You know, if you'll look at these many, there's many, many, we could go on and on with examples from the Word where the Lord used tribulation, affliction, troubles, anguish to bring people to Himself. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. You know, we look over in Acts 16 and 22. I want to read a little bit more. We're kind of just bouncing through the scriptures, quite a few scriptures here. But I wanted to lay a foundation. I felt like the Lord gave me these scriptures that we might understand the mind of God. Because, see, when Paul understood the mind of God, it quit being a trouble to him. It started being a strength to him. God is allowing things into my life and it's working good. And he quit fighting it and he quit troubling with it. He did. And, you know, he writes over there in Romans in the 5th chapter about what tribulation does and how it sets us in a place that makes us unmovable. It makes the Holy Ghost able to work in our lives. And so I just felt like the Lord wanted me to bring a few little thoughts to you all tonight. I'm not done yet. But that the Lord would work in our lives and that we would have the mindset to allow it in our lives. That doesn't mean, as Jesus, He prayed 3 times the same thing. Lord, if it be Thy, could You take this away? But if not, I'll still do it. I'll go through it. That's what You want me to do. Do you know that's what God wants in our lives? Paul, as soon as he said, Paul, it's for your benefit. Paul just embraced it. I believe that's the way the Lord would bless us too. Listen to this in Acts 16 and 22. You know, these people here, and they gave him audience. 16 and 22. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Now I want to ask us to consider ourselves in this situation. Have you ever been beaten like this and had many stripes laid on you? And then been thrown into a prison that you had no way of knowing if you was, when you was going to come out of it or what. You didn't know the future. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. That was even more. Can you imagine being held then? You can't move around and wiggle and everything that's hurting. I wonder if their hands were maybe held too. Maybe couldn't even scratch or what. They were in a real place here. And, you know, how are they going to deal with this? This would be easy to cop an attitude, wouldn't it? This would be easy to say, why? Why are those people so mean? And why does God allow this? But I want to tell you the rest of the story here. Paul had lived a while. Paul knew a little about God by now. And at midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And I want to tell you something. When we get it in our minds that I'm going to live for God and I'm going to bless His name no matter what, He's going to work in my life. I will tell you, there's not much to contain that. One time Rosie's dad was in jail down in Tijuana or somewhere in Baja Peninsula. And you know, at that time, you didn't have much recourse. It was just like until you can prove yourself innocent, you're there. He was falsely accused. Well, you know, there's another man with him. And they began to sing and pray. And you know what? They heard them. You know what? It wasn't but a little bit. The jailer come and just let them out. You know, there's something very powerful about us having the mindset that what God allows me into, I'm going to bless His name anyway by the grace of God. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And I want to recognize, as we're looking through these different places, folks, when these kind of things happen is when God works many times in ways that we remember forever. And so here Paul was, and an earthquake, and their bands were all loosed, and this was pretty dramatic. But you know, it happened in his life, didn't it? And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And you know, he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, you know, there was a wonderful little revival broke out right there. And I'm guessing that if Paul would have known this going in, him and Silas, they would have said, "Hey, Silas, after we get beat, there's going to be a revival breakout." But they didn't know that. They were just getting beat and put in jail and mistreated and spoken to ugly and all those. But you know what? When we allow the grace of God like this, it is very convicting to sinners. And many times what we wish for, we do everything we can to keep from happening. Paul had been down the road long enough that he didn't want to do that. He let them beat him. I can tell you, he kept a good attitude, a good spirit. He went into there and began to sing and to pray, and God began to work in the most awesome way. And I believe that if you will chase down through the scriptures all the things of suffering and those things, there's another side to it. There's a side where God visits. There's a side where God changes things. And the Lord wants to do that for you and me tonight. And so here these people came in and everything changed, and they washed their stripes, and everything changed, didn't it? You know, Paul told some of them over there, 2 Corinthians 1, he said, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us," well, I want to read that. 2 Corinthians 1 and 3. I hope I'm not too lengthy here tonight. I just want to unburden what the Lord gave me this one night. 2 Corinthians 1 and 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know what that's saying? I could kind of turn this around and say this. If we don't learn a little about God having to comfort us, how are we going to comfort people that have 10 times the trouble we have? Because when I've just been around long enough to know, folks, there's some people have troubles. It makes my troubles look like nothing, and probably most of yours too. I'm telling you, there's some people that have troubles. How are we going to comfort them if we are not exercised? And so the Lord uses tribulation. He uses it to teach us. I've been to some places where I was just like, I don't think I can take any more right now. I just don't see how I can't take no more right now. Well, you know what? I know how it feels when a little bit about how it feels when we're talking to one of those people that's crying their eyes out that has troubles that I can't dream of having. The devil has decimated their families and maybe somebody, there's so many things can happen. Do you know tonight, the Lord wants us to know how to relate to other people. This is another reason why He allows tribulation. And so I just want us tonight, by the grace of God, to recognize, Lord, let me be exercised by all those things that You allow into my life, that I might be able to comfort somebody else. I might know how they feel when they say, you just don't understand. And maybe we don't fully. But when we've been to the end of our ropes, folks, we understand that it can get to a place that we don't feel like we have any more strength. That's a valuable thing because it makes us able to comfort someone else. And Paul, didn't he say one place without were fightings and within were fears. And he understood those things. But the Lord that comforteth those that are cast down comforted him by the coming of, who was it, Titus, I believe? And came and gave him a good report of things that had been happening and encouraged Paul's heart. Paul was a man just like we are. But he was a man chosen of God for some special places. And the Lord took him through things to make him the best vessel he could make him in that place. He will do the same for you and me tonight if we will let him. If we will not get an attitude at God, at circumstances, at other people, and recognize this may well be the hand of God. And He is working in me a finer vessel. He's making me more patient. He's making me more gentle, more kind. He's making me more understanding, more helpful to somebody that's in trouble. And you know what? When we recognize the value of what God allows into our life, we can kind of change our attitude toward it, can't we? Just like Paul, and say, all right, most gladly, therefore, I'll just suffer these things. I'll happily suffer them because they're going to do something for me. So the Lord help us today. What about John the Apostle? You remember John? It seems like you read his writings. He was a man of love. John was a gentleman, it seemed. And he lived to be an old man. But you know what he wrote? First chapter of Revelation. He said, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God. Because I was serving the Lord, they put me out there in exile. And here I was on an island. And it was tough. But you know what God used that for? He had to get him away from all his responsibilities and all the things. And he gave him the revelation that's passed down to us today out there while he was on Patmos. What a story. What a something that God had done. Now, the saying is, Tertullian tells us that John was put in a big cauldron of boiling oil. But he didn't boil. And I believe, if I remember right, I believe after that was when they put him on Patmos. And so here, they couldn't kill him, but they did the next best thing. Just get him banished. Get him out there into exile. But you know what? He wasn't outside of God's exile, was he? God just worked with him and he gave him the revelation out there. And so we see so many, many things like that. And folks, I don't have a lot more here. Just, if you'll bear with us, in 1 Peter 4 and 12, listen to what Peter tells us here. You know, Peter had his troubles too, didn't he? Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened. But correct your attitude. Rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Now, I want to ask you, how many of us are happy when we're reproached for the name of Christ and suffer shame? Do we rejoice? And that's not too easy, is it? But Peter had an attitude correction, didn't he? Instead of denying Christ, he said, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. That means you went to Gethsemane and the Lord descended upon you in a way that He hadn't before. And so when we have our troubles, folks, as we will, and we're told that we're going to have tribulations, let's let them work for us an everlasting consolation. Because, folks, we're on our way to heaven. And the Lord knows what it takes to get us there. And we don't. We do not. It doesn't make sense to the human to suffer. It doesn't make sense to the human to have to endure things. But God chose those things. And He still does today. And He'll work in our lives if we'll let Him. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of. Actually, well, how can that bring glory to God? They're talking evil about God because of this thing. But on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And so tonight, just kind of wrapping up here, let's remember these things. John was banished, but remember, God gave him the revelation there. Job, how could a man suffer like that? Why would God allow such a thing? You know, I don't know all those answers. But I do know this, my life will never reach a small percentage of the lives Job has reached. You know, God worked in Job's life. He just remained true. He did not have some big, fancy, amazing... Job didn't understand it. Job couldn't figure it all out. But I'll tell you what he did do. He kept serving God. I want to encourage us today, just keep serving the Lord. And let Him have His way in our life. Draw close to Him. Let those pricks draw us close to Him. You know, the Lord said of Job, He said, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? God, that was God's testimony of Job. That's a testimony when God gives you a testimony like that. And do you know that He allowed into Job's life the most severe affliction of anybody I've ever heard of? And God allowed that. Do you know God allowed in Joseph's life affliction to bring about His purpose? But was that the end of the story? No. Was it the end of the story for Job when he was afflicted? No. There is an end to those things. And the Lord wants to work in those things in a wonderful thing. We have many stories in the Bible. This cloud of witnesses that we have was born out of adversity. Moses, born out of adversity, went and spent 40 years as a sheep herder, wasn't it? And we find him there, and yet God was in the midst of that. And when it was God's time, there was the burning bush, and God worked. God will work like that in our life. Now maybe we think it only needs to be for a month or a day, and surely I can get... No, he worked with... How many years was David on the run? But God was doing something in his life. And so when we see what God allows into our lives, let's remember, he's God, and we're just me and you. And our response to him should be, Lord, I only want to know one thing. What do you want me to do in the midst of this? That's all I want to know. And when we allow that kind of work from the Lord in our lives, folks, God will work. I'm persuaded of it. I've seen him work. The greatest things I've ever seen in my life were the lowest points. Points when my security was threatened and everything. So the Lord help us tonight. I hope this is an encouragement and not a message of gloom and doom, folks. The Lord loves us, and he works in our life, and he'll put us on our knees for our own eternal benefit. And when we get to heaven, we're going to cherish every dealing of the Lord. You pray for me. Thank you for your attention.